If you're not loving it, then it's going to be grind because you're going to meet a lot of people as good as you are. You met those people, but it's your extra edge is passion and love and seeing how far you can evolve as a human. You are under the microscope in every breath. You need to be a fan of yourself. If you're not a fan of yourself, how can you back yourself? Because it's a journey of evolving into your best self at the world-class level.
Hi, I am Tatiana Pandurovic and welcome to Moonshot, a space where comfort zones don't exist. Having spent most of my life scared to take risks, the one thing I am seeking now is to be surrounded by more people who are courageous, bold, unafraid, and relentless in their pursuit for success to help inspire me and hopefully you. In this podcast, we dive deep into the minds of individuals who see no limits, those who dream big and defy boundaries. Today on Moonshot, I'm joined by John Novak, Australia's number one sports mindset coach and a true pioneer in the world of elite performance. John has worked with an extraordinary caliber of athletes and teams across more than 50 sports, including world champions, Olympians, and national teams. From Sydney FC and Melbourne FC to NRL powerhouses like Manly Sea Eagles, Canterbury Bulldogs, John's mindset coaching has consistently transformed athletes into leaders and champions. With his proven and tested sports mindset program, John has helped athletes achieve breakthrough results faster than ever before, guiding them to sharpen their focus, overcome mental barriers, and unlock their full potential. Get ready for an inspiring and insightful conversation. John is a master of his craft, and today he'll be sharing the mindset secrets of the world's best athletes, his strategies for cultivating leadership, and how anyone can develop a high-performance mindset to achieve their goals. John and his partner, Teresa Novak, also have an incredible book on the world-class sports mindset. Check out the link in the bio of this episode. Let's dive in to this powerful conversation with John Novak. John, welcome to the Moonshot podcast.
Yeah, nice to be welcomed.
You've worked with an impressive roster of athletes and teams across over 50 different sports. I want to start by asking you, what inspired you to specialize in mindset coaching and how did your journey into this field begin?
Well, you started with a great question, a big question. Well, I have a number of academic degrees and lo and behold, I told you I'm a lawyer as well, so I'm a non-practicing lawyer. So whilst I was doing academia, I was also an elite athlete as a fighter. And to pay my way through university, I did fitness classes and I did 5,000 fitness classes. And in the job you're doing when you're not really doing a job, I'm trying to pursue a political career, thinking I'm going to go into politics, but I was gifted it as an athlete. So, and to pay for my journey in my life, I just went off and before you know it, I was doing everything in fitness. And then the natural segue over to body, from body to mind, was taking on mindset. So there was because I was so inspired by every session I did it with a skip and a jump and joy and nail the moment. Everything that I share with athletes, I did because people were paying for me to inspire them and motivate them in the mornings. And then I did that on television, I did that on radio, I did television, and I sold 500,000 videos and outsold Jane Fonda and in her videos, and I was really proud of. And then people started to ask me, can you help me? And before I went full-time in 2000, I was helping people for 10 years before that. So I'm quite old, I'm a dinosaur, but a happy, a lively dinosaur. So I did a lot of fitness enabling for people with joy and enthusiasm. And then from that, I started to create a program based on what I was doing. I didn't know about mindset and then heavily got involved in it in the 90s before going full time with a couple of works that really stand out for me that enabled me to make a comeback at martial arts at 33 to 38, which is the basis of my absolute positive understanding of what it was required to take a leap as an elite athlete. And that's why I made a comeback. And it all works, personally.
That's amazing. You found your passion really early in life.
Did I? Oh, do you think
I think so. I mean, okay. a lot of people are like, if you're an athlete, it's fantastic because hopefully you're in a field where you want to be a professional.
Yeah.
But following, as you know, I grew up, I was a junior professional tennis player. I then went into corporate, into the corporate world where a lot of people have been on a pathway that's not necessarily something that they're extremely passionate about. So just being in that position is extremely unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that you went back into professional sports in your early 30s is remarkable.
Oh, no, I didn't make a living from it. I did a half a dozen. When you say professional sports, I fought like an elite athlete, but I only had 6 professional fights as a kickboxer. So I didn't. That wasn't my profession. But I'm very pedantic about what you just said then, because I train like an elite athlete, but didn't get the money of an elite athlete. Even now, karate fighters don't get money, and they have to self fund. There's a lot of elite athletes that self fund, or they're sponsored, or the government. We didn't get. I did it because of love. So it's easy for me to talk about passion. I love when I was talking to this morning. Actually, I had a tennis player that wants to go full time. Homeschooled, and all we're talking about is the love and the passion. If you're not loving it, then it's going to be grind, because you're going to meet a lot of people as good as you are.
Yeah.
You met those people.
Yeah.
But it's your extra edge is passion and love and seeing how far you can evolve as a human in something that's you are under the microscope in every breath.
Yeah.
Especially the bigger the audiences, the higher the rankings, the bigger the day, not to mention Grand Slams, as we all love to watch. And, you know, you would have played a lot of those players.
Absolutely.
Sorry to qualify that.
But I'd love to go deeper into that. So you've worked with athletes and teams at the pinnacle of their sports, including world championships and the Olympics.
Yeah.
What would you say is the most common mindset challenge elite athletes face, and how do you help them overcome it?
So depending on the – we're talking elite. We're
elite
talking
athletes.
These type of athletes, right?
Yeah, the Olympic world-class athletes. Yeah. What challenges do they face?
Well, I'll give you one example particularly. I've worked for 14 months with a person who's a 0.3 of a second behind Ian Thorpe's 23-year-old record. Max is a wonderful athlete that I've been working with who's going already signed up for the next Olympics with me. He's presently at this day, he's doing the Australian short course qualifying for the Australian team that's coming up, and that will be in Hungary. What we work on predominantly, and I'll give you an example when we debriefed, he got a bronze medal at the recent Olympics in Paris. The biggest thing we worked on, I debriefed with his coach, who's Cam McAvoy's coach, and I said to the coach, so what did you notice about the final? Because he didn't get close to his time in the final. And he goes, well, when you got up on the blocks, he said, did you realize that you looked to the left and you looked at Popovich? And he goes, and I got a chill right now again. And he goes, no, I didn't. So we're going to get the footage. He's in lane seven and he's looking to the left at one of the world's best 200 swimmers. And then when we unpacked it and I said, Max, so why do you think it helps or hinders you looking at a superstar? And, you know, he has a little smile and a giggle about that. Clearly not. So it's the distractions that are involuntary. He didn't choose to look at him. But when, like, Michael Phelps doesn't need to be looked at. It's Michael Phelps. So staying in your own lane is a big one. Knowing how the things we talk about controllables, as you know, focus on the controllables. If you're giving energy away, how am I giving energy away? By looking at somewhere. Because I'm going, wow, that is, wow, she's so strong or they're so fast or la, la, la. It goes on. We're really good fans of everyone. And one of the greatest things that people need to become aware of is that you need to be a fan of yourself. If you're not a fan of yourself, how can you back yourself? How can you believe that you've got something whilst you're unintentionally looking at Popovich? Sure enough, he came seventh, and his best time to qualify for the team would have given him a bronze in that race. So I could go on and on and on and on. I know you've got a lot of questions and I can't wait to face them, but it's anything from nerves getting to the next level, anything like self-belief of who I am, anything, all of it similar, and they're wondering, can I reproduce something that they've trained thousands and thousands of times? So it varies tremendously because Max, for example, had beaten the best in the world before that race, but then got there and it's his first. So it's his first rodeo at that level. And then he's finding it difficult to reproduce that, but that's okay because it's a journey of evolving into your best self at the world-class level, no different than the lower-class level, no, to the middle level, to the national level, and then your first world champ, and then ultimately getting to once in a four-year Olympics.
I remember in one of our earlier conversations, you also talked about the idea of perception and the perception that athletes place on others around them, the stage or whatever it might be. In that example, how would you help Max as an example the next time he's going to a competition not face that exact same
challenge? Tunnel vision. So the practice would actually be the simulation of the exact feel, look that you will put into that race. So it's commanding yourself to look down the camera right now. So I'm looking at you, you're Popovich now, okay? So I look to the left and you're Popovich. This is what you're looking at. Now we're going to train ourselves and we create scenarios where there's hustle and bustle here. Buzz, 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 buzz. Dude, you just focus single-mindedly on one thing, your lane, your time. Lift your body and go, let's go. So you've got your words, you've got the emotional state. You know he's there, but it's all about you right here, right now.
I'm feeling inspired listening.
It's exciting. I get chills talking about it because we are all big thinkers and we overthink. And it's the simplicity of being here and now. There's nothing more important right here than being with you now. And that is relevant to business. And people can realize if you're here and now. So all the techniques we're going to talk about will enable us to be here in a tactile way, NLP style of here and now, here and now, here and now, here and now.
So I want to talk about one of those techniques.
We will.
In your sports mindset program, it's known for creating a multiplication effect in
doubling,
athlete
tripling, quadrupling it.
Could you explain what that means?
How you multiply something. Look, I've got to be really – to everyone's listening and everyone that's watching this – the joy I have working with someone disciplined, like if someone's a swimmer, they're disciplined. If someone's a tennis player, they're disciplined because they know how to grind. At the level you got to, you're a grinder. You knew what it took. And it wasn't just going to happen easily. It wasn't in one game. It wasn't in one set. It wasn't in one competition. You're growing something. So when I meet people at that level, I know they know how to grind. So when I say to them, listen, this mindset program has worked for thousands of athletes. All you need to do is take this on like you do technically, tactically, strategically, your sport. You got to eat this stuff up. You got to be like this in every breath. You got to walk like this when no one's around watching you. So what happens in 1 week of you going from a positivity-negativity ratio, call it PNF ratio, is I see them on screen or I see them, it's mostly on screen because they're all over the world, my clients, is I see a transformation so much that I say to my soulmate partner and co-author of all our work, I saw a mini miracle. They look so different. They look so joyfully embodying positivity that they're oozing like a different aura. It is so fascinating to see someone in 1 week change in colour. And I've seen that so many times. I feel so blessed. So people say, well, what do you get out of the job? I'm watching people transform into their limitlessness. In 1 week, you start seeing this. And the multiplication is every inhalation, every exhalation in my words, in my thoughts, in my actions, in my emotions will now be positive. Game on, elite athlete. And when they go game on, and they go, and I get
it puts them in that,
it's flick
that
a switch.
Performance mentality mindset. Like
everything
that
you
when
do.
You're playing a match, you
everything
switch
you
on.
Do. It's on. Okay, you, me, come on, let's go. You win a point. Yeah, you, me, let's go. And as Agassi does, he goes to the back net. He goes to the back area and he just resets with Brad Gilbert. You know those stories in his little black book, Brad Gilbert's book, of how you reset. And learning how to reset, it's always a choice. You've lost that one, but I'm going to win the next one. You watch this. And when they're doing it all week in 168 hours, breath to breath, hundreds of thousands of seconds, there is a transformation, and that's the multiplication, because the way they perceive themselves is growth, learning. So positivity, generally speaking, and specifically speaking, changes the game, because you're not in anxiousness. You're not practicing in anxiousness. You're aiming to win the next breath. If you're aiming to win the next breath and not concerned about anxiety, because anxiety is releasing the wrong chemicals, if you're in dopamine, you're instantly oxytocin, dopamine, endorphin, you're just exploding into nows. And you can change as a disciplined person phenomenally. That's the multiplication, because everything's geared towards getting the benefit out of a breath and never hurting yourself. Oh, I wonder if I can. Oh, my goodness, that didn't work. That technique's just not. None of that. Growing, learning now for me.
And what does that look like in the day-to-day? Because when you're training,
yep,
you've got triggers to put you into that mindset, yep, and you know when doubt creeps in and to put you in a positive mentality.
Yep.
But when you're telling an athlete breath to breath at all times, what does an example of a day look like? Like when you wake up in the morning, is always being mindful of your thoughts? Like what do you tell them?
So notice. So noticing where you're at. So know thyself. So we'll talk a little bit about the book a little later. Is one of the cornerstones of the program. If I don't know myself, how can I perform? I know I've got a bit more. That's why I can't wait to talk a little bit about our favourite athlete in common, Novak Djokovic. Knowing where my limitations are, knowing what irks me, knowing where I get derailed, knowing when he used to be 10 years ago a lot angrier than he is now. He just moves on. I'll get you. There's that little sneak, that's that approach where he's got that little smile going on. That was good. Watch this.
But so, I'm coming back.
Yeah. So what it means is that you're highly accountable to who you are throughout the day. So coming back to what I said, in your PNN ratio, your positivity-negativity ratio lives in this.
The breath.
So if I'm mindfully present in the breath right now, I'm exuding and projecting an energy. It's called the boomerang effect, the program. I'm projecting an energy that is rewarding me all the time. I feel better about doing that. The more I feel better, the more I want to do better, because I'm getting instant information. If I stand tall and I'm up and I'm joyful sitting here with you and I'm thinking, this is so cool being here explaining this to you in its simplicity, whether it be a business person listening, a parent listening to it, or a young kid listening to it, you are totally in control of your breath. And if you don't, if you lose control of your breath, how the hell do you think you're going to win the match that's right in front of you, or win moments on the way to the match? Or how are you supporting yourself in training to win matches? And then you go further, you go, it's not just going to training. It's about how I live at home. Am I anxious all the time, thinking, oh, what's going to happen today? Oh, I can't believe the training partner I got is so much better. My UTR rating ranking is so much worse than hers or his. You're finding peace in breath. You're finding peace and you're wading through thoughts and you're going, which serve me or help me or which hinder me? So you're now totally in charge of this superstar you, and it lives at home. So it's a holistic program.
Yeah, as you're talking through that, I don't think just of sports, but I think of the amazing benefits in life by just applying some of those techniques. And I shared with you just in some of our earlier conversations, growing up as a young athlete, there was not a lot of focus on mindset coaching or how you can perform better mentally.
Yep.
From your experience, how much of an athlete's success can be attributed to their mental game versus their physical abilities? Is there a balance, or does mindset take precedence?
I think I'll refer back to a well-accepted notion that there's an 80-20 rule, 80%, 20% rule, and that 80% is when everything's equal and even. So if the forehand's similar, if the backhand's similar, do you mind if I keep talking tennis?
I love talking tennis.
I love talking tennis too, because it's a, I could easily talk about combat sports because I see tennis as a combat sport. You're smashing and they're smashing and it's just out-hooting. They're out-hooting each other and to will to power to win the moment. So as they're as we're going moment to moment, breath to breath, sorry, the key theme was then?
The key theme was how much of an athlete's success.
80%. 80%. My apologies.
Mental versus physical.
Yeah, I was sort of getting into the
of the tennis.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. And as a martial artist and a kickboxer and all that, the 80% is everything equal, similar backhand, similar forehand. Anyone in the top 100, anyone in the top 200 in tennis, similar. So really, then it becomes who can move on quicker. So I have an admission for you. That the work is predominantly lives in resilience or bounce back. So why I say bounce back is one thing I love about watching tennis is how quick you can lose. You can suddenly bang, 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 lost, and it can be short and it's ruthless. Do you think that that person is technically that much better than you, or did you succumb to not winning the next month, succumb to the overwhelming nature, I can't beat this person? Like Henry Ford, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. We all know that der stuff. However, when you, if you don't look for a way, if you don't strive for adapting in what they've got and going, you're going to miss. Like the first serve, if you've got three games of a person hasn't missed a first serve and they're 100%, that will end. Correct or incorrect? You're the expert in this area.
Yeah,
it's gonna break down. And why is either you're going to get too cocky as the server or you're going to get too complacent. I gotcha. And then one return that comes back. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What just happened then? So you feel you're in charge and you're smashing someone and then they turn around and going, my go. And that my go opportunity messes with the person's head because they're in this state of presuming and assuming. And when it's presuming and assuming, I gotcha. You got them. And that's the exciting part, that mind at the top level means that I have a choice in the next breath, given that I've lost the last 12 points straight, I still have a choice. Now, what will you choose to do now? What will you physically do? What will you emotionally do? What will you say to yourself? What will you resort to? How will you perceive this? Will you remind yourself that I've been in this exact situation before and I found a way? So where will you anchor yourself? And it's normally mindful presence in trust and faith.
That mental reset is so incredibly important. And you can watch, it's not just tennis, but you can watch anything. So many sports where a chain of thoughts will just derail a performance.
Yep. Yep.
And so when you're in the moment, your emotions are high.
Yep.
Actually getting yourself to a point of being able to reset, very difficult, but the best athletes in the world do it so well. And I read this in Maria Sharapova's biography where she was talking about tennis and the key skill set needed to really differentiate between a top athlete is after every point. It doesn't matter if you did extraordinary or if you performed or lost. You have to completely forget about it.
Yeah.
Take the learnings, forget about it because you don't want to be traveling too much
too
on
high,
a high
too
or too low. Like keeping that measured middle balance is the key.
Yeah. So the reason I think that's really important for all our listeners to understand is getting to a homeostasis place, that a calm, neutral place, means that we have to now win the next moment. Don't live in the past because if you're going, I got you, things can change. So you've got an expectation of success. Now you're not actually going to fight for the next breath, the next moment, and you can be surprised. And that's paramount and without doubt important for momentum to instead of just assuming there's a momentum, because a momentum's two things, sorry to hold you on this point, can be I'm going really good and I'm going really bad. Whereas if you reset like world-class athletes do, I'm winning this next moment and I am mindfully present with the exact things I need to do in this moment like I did in the previous 10.
Yeah, and you can see sometimes they'll even forget the score in a game.
Yeah, totally.
Because they have completely brought themselves to present moments where they'll lose track of even a score
and that's because they're so present.
Yeah, they're in the flow state.
Yeah.
I want to talk about nerves in 2 minutes.
When we talk about teams, there's a challenge there. And I think there needs to be a caveat, what we just said. The challenge will be,
what is the difference with individual versus
team?
Well,
you're seeing scoreboards. Like you're seeing massive scoreboards and you're three tries down or you're three goals down or you're in a really bad situation. Even at Man City level, and Pep Guardiola is, what are you doing? What are you doing? You play what is in front of you. Stop looking at the score.
Because it hangs above the athletes.
Yeah, because you might have 70% of possession and then the score's against you and they just drop. Even at the elite superstar level, because there's something called the contagion theory.
What is that?
The contagion theory is, I drop, you drop. I'm sad, you're sad. We're all sad together, so hang out with the people that you're not going to be sad with, because the leadership group and the captain are the voice of the coach and they are up even further. They're like this. We've got a responsibility. And there's some wonderful scenes in a Netflix series with Pep Guardiola talking to, see this young man, he debuted today. He plays like I want you to play. First game here. This is how I wanted to play. Because they're just getting all in, they're getting too precious, as Tiger says. Tiger Woods would say, I beat people because they're precious, they're too sensitive. And this is the awakening of self that I said in Know Thyself. You've got to understand what you bring and what you don't bring. Sorry to interrupt for so long.
It plays really well into the next question I was to ask, which is, when you're working like teams like you have with Sydney FC or Melbourne FC, how do you approach cultivating a winning mindset across an entire group rather than just focusing on individual athletes?
Yeah, I really love that question. That's a great question, because the challenging part of working with a team and creating a group cohesion is, you'll see a lot of the teams now around the world are doing huggy huggies, get into a circle and they do one breath, one mind. You'll see in all the NRL teams, all the teams in AFL, they're getting together and they do one breath, one mind, one breath, one mind. Yeah, yeah, really nice. Phil Jackson started that with, you know, the 11 rings, and George Mumford, the man behind him, the mindfulness coach, love his work. Sorry, an aside of people I love. The biggest difference is, and the biggest similarity is, you're still individuals contributing to the whole. For me to be part of a cohesive group of 11, 10, 5, 6, whatever the sport we're talking about is, I have a responsibility to nail my role. Okay, before you start thinking about anything else, nail your role. What's nail your role? It's do the little things well, technically, tactically, strategically, the way you converse, the verbal triggers you use, creating an atmosphere that we're all, woo, we're joyful. It's the joyfulness that you bring that we as a team will benefit from. So the good thing is that's different to an individual. You can't hide as a tennis player. But in a team, you can go missing in action, especially if you didn't catch a ball and you made a glaring error that they scored after because of you, or you allowed a goal in because you didn't scan enough. So the lights are on you. So what we're trying to do is nail thy best self, one. Two, do it for one's sister or brother, because I work with so many female teams, male teams, and doing it for the person you're here for, because there is no doubt that a person makes a difference, but there is no team, no individual that can win the game for the team alone, as The Last Dance showed with Michael Jordan when he was triple teamed. So you need then to be aware that you can't win this for the team. But although Steph Curry in the final of the recent Olympic Games,
he was impressive.
75% of the time he missed those three-pointers and then won the last four and then was going, you're asleep now, like go to bed now because I've done it. Now that's faith, trust and belief. That's the difference between the superstars. They will find a way because it's always there. So anyway, do you see the difference between one's cohesion, one's individual, but there's a cohesive requirement that get back up now. Because your error, you need to do it for the rest of us to make it better for us, because you doing that is hurting us. You've got to understand that there's an oxytocin connection. Yeah. The more I care for you, the better it is for me.
No, I've definitely observed that in the business world as well. Oh, yeah, sports is just a lot more pronounced because usually you've got an hour to perform, or tennis might be a couple of hours, but it's a time box period of time.
Yeah.
And so you need everyone to peak during a time box period. But I've noticed it even in business, and I've led teams. I mean, everyone goes through challenging situations. Doesn't matter what you're doing in life. But when you're part of a team, you can really notice when there's a group energy that is more negative.
Yeah.
And one that's more positive. And so I remember when I had a new team to lead at the beginning of this year, one of the most important things for me was challenges will come up, obstacles will arise, things won't necessarily always work out, but it's so important how we all represent our team. Mm. And so if anyone has an interaction with any individual, because everyone's an individual performer in the business context that my team was in, but if anyone has an interaction with any single person on our team, let's all come together with a vision of how we want to be represented.
Yep.
Because it goes to the second point that you're saying, not just that we want to perform as individuals, but we want to perform as a team, irrespective of what situation comes our way. And that mentality changes everything.
Yeah. So I think we can borrow from sport, but I think there's the difference. And it's good that you've raised this, because there's similarities again and then differences. The similarities is group mindset for the benefit of the whole. But knowing that if it's in the wrong place, you can have the pain of the group because there's one rotten apple which wrecks the group. So understanding and knowing what's important as a standard. The standard of the team is dictated by the energy of the leaders, and the contagiousness of your energy will benefit those around you. So knowing that I have a responsibility to continue openly to communicate for the benefit of the whole means you understand vision, you understand mission, and you understand values. That's why I do a lot of work like this, but I don't think the standards of business are ever as high as sport. And I don't mean that to offend anyone, but they must do it in sport. They make a living from a W and an L. Business, it's a little more forgiving, although you can say P&Ls, but we're not directly involved in P&Ls. We think we are, and we are in part of the complexity of what we're doing, but you don't live and survive by whether the P&L goes a little up or a little down, or we get customers that are disappointed or not, depending on what business you are. Whereas you're directly responsible if you go missing in action in a team, football, soccer, AFL, any code. We can see you're not doing your work and it's hurting us, so stop that behaviour. The scrutiny we have in professional sport is vastly higher than you do in business. And I've worked with billion-dollar businesses. The scrutiny of observation in every part of what you did, every number that you contributed or didn't contribute, is knowing in a KPI. It's not like that. It's not, there's people aren't strong enough or resilient enough to take the honest, like, you didn't do your work. And then it's in front of everyone. What do you mean I didn't do the work? So our day and age, I think resilience needs to be improved in business, because you're not scrutinized as carefully. Are you okay? It's really nice. But you've got to get the job done in professional sport. Even if you're not okay, there's a standard, because there might be, you know, 300 or 400 million people watching this game and you're not at that standard right now.
So how do you help athletes improve their resilience? Because things like nerves, anxiety, doubt, they're very difficult to overcome. Many athletes experience them. Mm-hmm. And even top athletes experience them. They just learn how to navigate them a lot better.
Yep.
But how do you help athletes develop resilience so they better handle high-pressure situations?
Yeah. So let's go to the heart of the word. The resilience means that I bounce back and bounce forward into a new moment that is my choice. So coming back to Sharapova's work that you talked about, so the reset thing is that what still exists with doubt is a standard of the next breath. And that needs to be clearly articulated. What is the requirement in this next breath? And the requirement is six parts to the requirement. So there's a preparation requirement. Yeah, I've done my preparation. Okay, there's a mind requirement. Well, it's not going to be negative. It's going to be beneficial, helpful. So you'll have a dominant thought there that you'll hang your hat on. This is, I will win this next moment. Okay, so you're projecting an energy. So what is my words, my thoughts? What are my thoughts is, I can do this because I'm limitless. And this moment makes me stronger. So saying something to yourself, there's a physical requirement. So it's an upness. And we talk, everyone talks about body language and then they drop at the EPL level. What do you mean? Like at the NBA level, they drop. Why are they dropping? Because they're not disciplined. Whereas in tennis, you must be disciplined to project something that is still worthy of winning the next point. Then there's an emotional, woo, thank you. So there's an emotional happy, grateful, thankful, all these things that are easy to say, but we don't actually draw upon it. How can I be happy if I lost the last point? Because the lost point's out of your control. I'm going to be happy in the new point. I'm going to win.
It's really powerful. When you even went through the example of when you tell athletes that they're limitless and all the kind of things that they might say to you, this is probably the exact conversation we would have had if you spoke to me when I was 13, 14 and the stakes are higher and the pressure at competitions becomes higher. And it, like, I was definitely struggling with the exact same things of,
that's why I said it,
when I'm nervous or when I'm more anxious, I'm thinking, like, what's wrong with me and why can't I level set enough? Yeah. There definitely wasn't as much positivity, not even close to what you talk about and the state that you try to get athletes in. A lot of those setbacks and moments, though, are short term. What about when you're working with athletes and they've had...
So what did you mean by they're short term?
Well, they're in the moment. So an athlete's struggling to reset in a game. Yeah. It's a big game and you need to perform in a match, in a championship, in the Olympics. It's one race. But what about when you work with athletes that have a losing streak? They've had an injury.
Oh, I can't wait. That's even better.
How do you get them back into a positive state after they've felt down or they've got setbacks that are more longer term?
I am contributing to my loss by making the wrong decisions repeatedly in my mind, in my body, in my emotion, in my spirit, and in my environment. I am. See, when they don't realize that they're actually part of the problem, when I know I'm part of the problem, therefore I'm part of the solution. And it's like the lights go off to you say that I'm actually contributing. At this critical moment, you do the same thing. We watch the footage. Do you see at this moment it's the third time you've missed your backhand? Why do you think you missed the first one, then the second one, and the third one? Do you think your body, and this is I tell them when they're limitless, do you realise that I said it to the person that I did the call to, the discovery call this morning. Do you realise, and I say to him, I'll do the exact thing that I said this morning, give me your best game ever. If you got it clear in your mind when everything was rolling your way, everything's fantastic, everything was coming off, even the little subtle touches, you're smashing but you're gently cutting and you're crossing and you're bringing it all together. Do you remember that game? And she goes, yep. And I go, okay. Now, remember a shocking one. Do you remember that game? I said, yeah. She said, yeah, it was the same competition. And I went, do you think your body's changed anyone? Do you think your body's any different as a limitless person? And they go, if it's my same body, what is it? They're becoming aware that they're part of the solution, that I'm actually worsening it. When you have a losing streak, then what you're realizing, and I've had so many teams that I've worked with at this level, every game's an opportunity, what, to learn. We've learned the lesson. We've got the opportunity. We know what we're not bouncing back fast enough. We're not resilient enough. Okay, so we develop something called sting. And sting is we not only win the next moment, and I don't mean break the rules and give away stupid penalties because it happens in the NRL time. We over physicality. And when you're over, you slip and you make errors and then you're penalised, you go another 30, 40, happens in all big sports. So what we're learning is the exact requirement for a sting set. And it's a sting set. So we win the next play, but then we win the next set. It would be the next set. And you fight like hell. And even if you lose, you did you at your best self. So limitlessness, and coming back to an understanding of my body's trained at a world-class level. If I got out of my way and I didn't compound it, we compound errors. In tennis, when someone gets in the move and there's that fantastic woman in the north of Africa that I'd love to work with. Oh, I'd love to work with her. She's a phenomena. She's a top 10 tennis player, and she gets down on herself so badly. And I'll try and
remember. Are you talking about Ons Jabeur?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! I watched her in that tennis Netflix thing, and went, "You are amazing, woman. Do you don't realize But then when she digs a hole, then it's a ditch, and then it just becomes.
And you can tell the body language and everything comes down. And you can tell her game vibe. Just start to break.
She's broken down.
But an incredible athlete.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely incredible athlete.
So how would you work with a person like that? Or it's that you're actually making it worse, and you need to see you flying in adversity and you declining in adversity. We'll show the footage of it. Well, sir, because your body is always remembering greatness, but your mind is doing what you said a minute ago with the questions. What's going wrong? You do not ask a question of yourself in a game. It is not a journalistic moment for you. You just reset and going, I'm going to win this next one.
I love that. It's not a journalistic moment.
It's not a time to reflect on what's going wrong. What do you want an answer? Oh, now let me think about what's going on. Oh, wow, oh, sorry, am I late for the next point? Like, far out. Like, it's comic that people are asking dumb questions in themselves. And when you enlighten them that this is not, that it's called play mode. So I lost, now I win, win, win. I lost, I win, win, win. So you're just in the game, losing touch with reality. Yes, the reality is, you lost 4 points, but you're going to win the next moment. Why? Because I'm limitless. I've trained that way. You watch. It's just a whole energy vibe difference. You ooze a can-do energy. And I'm not just being like a rah-rah a person. I'm just saying it's dur as a fighter to get hit. If you get hit, what's your response? Oh, please don't hit me again because I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like, far out. Just win the next moment. Move. You feel like you're being susceptible to something that's not working. Move. Get around it.
Yeah, it's
take
putting
control
yeah.
by adapting to the moment instead of feeling that there's something wrong.
And this brings me to the top one percenters.
Yeah, yeah.
What, because you mentioned earlier, and you used tennis as an example, anyone in the top 200 worthy of being in the top 10. If you just look at the way they play, everyone trains, everyone has technique and the game to play.
Yeah.
What is it about the top 1%ers that makes them different?
Okay. I think the two major things, thinking about this question, is the two major things is emotional mastery. They know how to keep themselves in the homeostasis place. They understand what their best self, how their best self lives in this.
In the breath.
They know mindfully what's required, doesn't matter what happens, is their go-to, is their anchor. They know it, and I can see it a mile away when they've got, because I remember with the FedEx tennis player that you know, that you've played with, when I watched Ivanovic hit with her, didn't matter what happened, she was able, it's Ivanovic, the Serbian girl?
Anna Ivanovic, yeah.
I watched, had the opportunity for 3 or 4 practice sessions to watch them at White City in Sydney here.
Yeah, former number one in the world.
Yeah.
One Grand Slam.
Yeah, yeah. So watching her, it's a clear understanding of thyself. This able body, able mind thing is I know where I am, what I'm doing. So the top 1% have clarity. The top 1% realize that there's a limitlessness within them. The top 1% are structured, systematized in the way they think and feel in critical moments, and they know how to reproduce their best selves, which is called self-actualization. And self-actualization is a simple understanding of what I do when I do it well, what I need to do to do it well, what I need to do to practice it to do it well, and then execute, then review, then they debrief, then they review, then they see footage and they go, let's go again. It's a world-class approach to every component of what it takes for them to be great, not to even mention holistically to keep things in the right place because all of it needs to be balanced. We need a life balance because I'll finish this sentence in a second. One thing I love about all the Netflix series and sports is that you're seeing that all of these athletes still are no different than all of us. They still have to coexist with reality, this reality. Even though they go into a hyperspace of greatness, they need to be able to separate, compartmentalize, keep it here, and then still be boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and all that kind of stuff and still be parents and still be reality-based and still find ways to be reality-based and and be their best selves wherever they are. That's what self-actualization means. And there's a very, very special type of wisdom required to get there and to stay there. Did that give you an understanding, or did I? Is there anything you missed?
It's really like let's talk about an example about definitely my favorite tennis player. Yep. But you mentioned as well that absolutely have deepest respect for Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, we'll have him on the show one day. Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, Novak's going to be here.
Would be a dream.
Yeah.
He absolutely epitomises the pinnacle of what it means to be the top 1%. Yeah.
And a nice guy.
A really nice guy. Absolutely. And I remember reading a quote, and it was after he won the 2011 or 2012 Aussie Open. I can't remember exactly which year, but after one of his press conferences, he said when he was in the locker room with the trophy.
Yep.
He had allowed himself a single piece of chocolate.
Yeah, love
that's it. And that's
discipline.
And that's like, that's the first time he's had a piece of sweets that he, he'd really determined that in every area of his life, what he eats, how much he sleeps, when he stretches. Non-negotiable. And after the win, and he's like, that's all that I'll allow myself.
Yep.
In such a simple story, you start to get an idea of the level of discipline consistently over a long period of time. The athletes are really at the pinnacle that they apply to themselves.
So that is a perfect example that I take to the court of the level of discipline in your resilience required, because your reaction needs to be even, understanding, aware, and let's go energy. That's the discipline of that chocolate. That's why this program is summarized by one statement. It's that your words, thoughts, and actions are always positive, no exceptions. No exceptions, the chocolate, the resilience. No exceptions every day and every way, 24/7 on. And I get them. I had a guy who, a 9-year-old athlete that now is 14, and I've been working with him for 5 years, who's a world-class golfer from Vietnam, number one amateur, who will be a superstar. He's at an Eton-like college in England right now. I'm just in admiration for how this kid just lives a disciplined life, to have his first language Vietnamese and to go to one of the feeder schools for Oxford and Cambridge to do it as well as he did it. And that understanding and that awareness is a wisdom of what it takes. It's a macro view, because we talk about hacks. Just give me a hack. Give me a hack. But the hack doesn't really get into the substance of the being. It's a holistic approach to being, whether it be in business or education or in sport. Holistic means that you are wholly endeavoring to do the best you can in your chocolate denial and your rebound and resilience at critical moments. And all of them is practice. So I spend so much time talking to people about education or my Div 1 colleges, athletes in the States, of being the real deal that you others will emulate. You'll be that shining light that others will enjoy being with you, because you're always can-doing in little things. They'll go off and get sloshed, the American scene at college. They'll be throwing them down because they love partying. But you have a purpose and you want to be a professional athlete. And when they get to that level and become number one in one of the elite colleges already so quickly in their first year, by the end of it, you know that we've got systems to enable them to be in the 1% category, because they look at their whole life equally.
Well, I'd love to ask what you tell younger athletes. So for anyone listening that's got kids and they're looking to give them advice, I know now you said you're working with younger and younger athletes, which wasn't the case a decade ago, especially 2 decades ago, just the idea of even the mental mindset coaching.
2 decades ago? You're talking 2 decades ago.
What do you tell younger athletes?
Well, see, it keeps me grounded, younger athletes. I remember saying, oh, I don't really want to do them anymore. And now it keeps me in the fundamental principles. The fundamental principles is everything you say and feel, words, thoughts, and actions, everything you say and feel, every emotion you've got and haven't got is contributing to the purpose of what you want to do. And that's not that confusing. Like, a 9-year-old kid understood from day one, and I give him this exercise, I am limitless, I am limitless, I am limitless.
Put your hands up in the air.
Yeah, just the limitlessness. I'm winning. And all the business people out there, like, you wake up in the morning, you want to win something. What winning might be just presenting a wonderful, PowerPoint presentation like you're enjoying yourself. Because if I'm if you see like I'm enjoying myself, I'm going to bring this to you. If you see that you're bringing the person that's pitching something to you is enjoying themselves, you go, I like this energy. They're kind of into it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and being proud of that and being proud how you represent yourself in any moment.
So these kids that do the limitless, they like the exercise because I make it all sort of NLP, sort of physicality. Oh, yeah, I can do this, Yeah, let's go. Positive now. Big toe, little toe, big toe, here and now. Getting their heels down. They like all the games. And their absorption and their willingness and their growth mindset is facilitating quick leaps. They're the ones that I look at and going, wow, like that young.
They're like a sponge because they absorb it so much more easily as well.
So now the system for young ones is I don't, and I'll give you the techniques in a second, I don't take on a client unless I talk to him because it's not the money anymore for me. It's more of the, are you open enough to take on a message with someone who's going to keep smiling, is going to keep giving you energy? Are you ready to take it on as seriously as you're technically working? And if they are, I can tell. If they're not ready, I'll say,
what is it?
Just
what
do
is
the
it
book.
About them? Like, what is it about them that you can tell?
They can communicate.
Ready? Yeah.
Like they can, and I never want to do a face-to-face in communication. I want to do it on the phone because if you can listen, I always tell them to call me Johnny because I don't want you to call me John because John's boring, but Johnny's fun and then they always have a little giggle and it's no trick, it's no, like the person today I talked to, because I won't say their surname, is short for her full name, but it was Pop. And I said, it's so funny, at my age I'm going to be calling you Pop and you're going to be calling me Johnny. And we couldn't stop laughing straight away. So if we can laugh together within a minute, it was the first thing we talked about. So it's engaging people and then they feel trust because there's going to be joy. And the most important part of starting with someone is, do you love this sport? And sorry, I said, oh, because they're in a downer. They came to me because of an injury, or they came to me because there's a challenge or a repetitive loss thing. Do you kind of still like it? Yes, I do. And they might be introverted and they say, introvert, I'm fine if they're introverted. It doesn't make any difference because introverted athletes are superstars because they got so much going on in here. I can talk to the inside person. So when they say, do you want, and when I say to them, would you like to have more fun in what you're doing? They go, yeah. Well, we're going to be the most joyful athlete on the planet. And they go, oh, I love this. Joyful. I'm not joyful at all because I start asking dumb questions of myself like, what's wrong? No time for questions, just win the next moment. So when you show them joy and it's as simple as your body can, it doesn't forget, and if you fall off a push bike, what do? You get back up, you never questioned it, and by the way, it took us 9 months to get walking too. We didn't question, no, I'm not going to do this today. We just keep getting up. We are naturally resilient beings. When you get them into their natural state and play like they did, and they're young, so play as a kid, someone who's in their 20s, I go, what did you do when you were at your best as a kid? I just loved it. Let's go back to
you
that.
You had fun.
Joy, fun, happiness. So the positive emotions, like, well, there's that movie about the emotions. Love that. Get them to watch that movie, 1 and 2.
What's the movie called?
Oh, gosh, no, don't challenge me. Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Thank you. The heavens are speaking. See, we are all limitless and connected. Thank you for Inside Out. So I get all of them to listen to Inside Out, how emotions play tricks on us, and knowing which emotions you need to bring to an event, and it's joy. I can't wait to play in joy.
I love that, and I love how you do it with the body language as well. I've seen, I think it's a TED Talk, and the speaker just talks about how you can influence your mind through your actions and your body, totally, which you've mentioned so many times throughout this conversation. And just by even doing an exercise, like you've done plenty of times, sit up straight, shoulders up, lift your arms up in a winning position, do that for a minute, like emulate all of those actions for a minute.
Twice a day.
And you can notice immediately the impact that it has on your state.
And even your eye line. If your eye line starts going up, you start looking up, you start seeing things, because when you need to win or you need to receive information from the greater whatever you're looking for, it's here. It's not there. Down here, there's nothing down there, just your feet. And your feet might be working really well at the moment. So look up, lift up, project an energy based on, you know, you're limitless. You told me you knew you were limitless and you're doing it every day. You've just forgotten. And when you forget, then you're 50%, 40% more likely to win the next point or the next moment. And this and these quick tricks that you give them, they're quick, but then when you become a disciplined, it becomes a disciplined methodological practice that you pedagogically, big words for, it becomes the science of microscopic understanding of what you need to do in every breath. That's what we're trying to do.
You remind me of a story from recently.
Yeah.
I was playing backyard soccer. My youngest brother loves soccer,
yeah.
wants to become a professional player. He's yeah. 9, one of his friends is over, and we've got an adult kid soccer game going. And so I'm playing with one of his friends who's 7 years old.
Yeah.
And we are losing. Like, we are battling in this game, but we are losing. And we're about 3-1, 4-1 down. And my teammate, my brother's 7-year-old friend, goes and sits down, crosses his arms, like he's not happy.
Yeah.
And he says he's not playing anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, how do I approach this situation? Because we're playing a good game here. And winning and losing is not important. But the way that we compete is much more important. So I walk over to him. And I'm like, okay, you have a choice now, and I'm going to let you think about it. You can either choose to be a champion or you can choose to be average.
Mm.
And that is all dependent on whether you're going to stay sitting here
yep.
or if you're going to get up, and it doesn't matter how we – if we win or we lose, not important, but we're going to fight and we're going to bring in a really tough performance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're going to bring it.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's totally up to you. And I'm like, I'm going to go compete, and we're a player down now. And I'm like, and it doesn't matter, like, how we go, but I want you to think about this choice and whether you're going to come back into this game.
Yeah.
You're going to choose if you want to be a champion, and you'll do that through actions. So I go in and I'm playing and I'm really doing my best because I'm trying to set the right example.
Yeah, yeah.
He eventually ends up coming into the game and suddenly he's not thinking about the fact that we're now maybe 5-1 down or 6-1 down, but he's giving 200%. And when he came back into the game, I'm high-fiving him and I'm like, you are a champion.
Yeah.
Because again,
it's positive feedback
and it's representing that. And so you can absolutely do that with kids at a very young age.
Yeah, you can do it with adults too. You can do it with kids, and it's just I don't care. I've got athletes right now competing all over the world.
Yeah.
Someone's doing something, lots of them in different sports. And all I do in the debrief review is asking for their magic moments. So with our staff in businesses that we're working in, it's the same thing. Keep reminding them where there's things that mightn't be happening, but a lot of good things are happening. And that's playing, as Federer says, to your strengths. Focus on the strengths, focus on what you're doing, and then say, we've got some work here. And this work, it's deliberateness in things that we need to modify, improve, and meld and mold. These things are crucial for how we teach people, because people, by and large now, from a self-esteem point of view, are lower, because we're never as good as the photo we're looking on in Insta and TikTok, because they're all glammed up when they're doing, they're glammed up. So you're matching yourself and going, I'm not like that. So self-esteem, by and large, is a little lower. So we're doing a lot of building. So when you ask me what are the key things, the key one is emotional mastery and self-view. So when you're looking in the mirror, what do you see? Schwarzenegger talks about it a lot. I spent my life, I have to look at myself, and then I have to feel comfortable with who I look at. So I don't like calling it just, I don't mean this from a sexist point of view, that man in the mirror thing. It's human in the mirror. What do you see? And if you see that and you see a joy and you start projecting on it and doubling down and saying, that's why I'm going to be special, and we're all special because we're limitless by our birth, it's a right, then you're starting to change the game by the way you present yourself and project yourself and the way this young kid is adopting your advice through your actions.
When I listen to all of this, it always brings me back to applicability in all areas of life and how you can completely uplift whatever it is that someone might want to do.
Yeah.
All of these principles cross-transferable to every element of life.
Yeah, yeah.
Final question.
Finally. Gosh, how long can we go, right? I'm so sorry.
For those interested high performance.
Yes.
From your work with elite athletes, what are the key takeaways for people who want to understand and develop a high-performance mindset in any field?
I think the key thing is to realize that however you got here, whatever, when you level with yourself and you look in the mirror However you've got here, you're a construct. I'm a construct, you're a construct. I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just saying we're a bunch of thoughts that are meaningful for you but not for me. Unpacking them, you can deconstruct everything and you can reconstruct everything. Anything that you've become, you can release. And the reason why I think this is an important way to finish is that I have choice. I used to do my speaking in the first third of my career of 30 years of doing this. I used to just start with know thyself, like we started earlier, and going, if you know yourself and you know there's a choice, that means you can make a better choice. So making good choices daily is important. One, realize that I can make better choices. Two, however bad you feel, move. For the people out there who are not elite athletes, because I've worked in the well-being segment for a long, long time, 20 years in the well-being segment that crossed over to mindset, start with a little bit of movement. You must move. Because I work with so many people who are injured in sport, so I always ask them this question, so what can you do? So we get the analysis of the doctors, the high performance, the S&Cs. We get all the analysis. I've got BBL players like this, and we go, so what's left? And can you walk in a pool? Can you sit and move your upper body? And understanding that movement is the starting point of a momentum. So movement is really, really important. So understand you've got choices. Take the movement. Eating well is really, really, really important, because that means you're making a better choice here and better choice there. Then getting a simple 3 to 5 steps that make you feel good about you. And that's kind of developing a new habitualness. And the new habitualness is a system, your system. And then in that system, you'd have PNNs, positive negativity ratio. If you can get your P to 80% of the time in your words, thoughts, actions, and emotions,
your life can change.
Your life will change in a week, and you'll be your own miracle. You will phenomenally change. And it's so exciting to make it that simple.
Thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure.
Absolute inspiration. You worked with top athletes in the world.
Yep. Still will be.
And continuing to do so. And yep. These insights are just so rich.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We'll talk about your book as well.
Yep.
But I'll share all your details. I just want to say thank you again. And thank you for sharing your time and your energy.
No, absolutely. Thoroughly enjoyed it to be here. Enjoy our producer's hard work over there, who's doing all the hard work, and you being just guiding me through your own experiences. And your questions were fantastic. And thanks for the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Thank you so much, John. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Moonshot. If you felt inspired today and are curious about taking your own personal growth to the next level, check out my performance coaching website at leadwithtatiana.com. For more insights, stories, and behind-the-scenes content, follow me on Instagram at tatiana.moonshot. And if you have guest suggestions or topics you'd like explored, send me a DM. I'd love to hear from you. See you soon for another inspiring conversation that might just be the catalyst to the growth you've been seeking.